My name is Timothy Broge, and I'm the composer of Train Heading West and other outdoor scenes. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this piece, which was originally written back in the early 1970s when I was teaching at the Manasquan Elementary School in Manasquan, New Jersey. Manasquan is a small community on the New Jersey seashore, about 50 miles south of New York City. And I was the elementary school band director in Manasquan for 9 years, 1971 through 1980. This piece was originally written for my beginning band at the Manasquan Elementary School. The year that we first played this piece, I think the beginning band had about 20 players in it, trumpets, clarinets, saxophones, flutes. I think there were a couple of trombones, maybe a baritone horn player, and some percussionists. The instrumental forces determined the style of the writing, and since these were beginners with less than a year experience under their belts, I felt it was necessary to concentrate on repeating patterns, rhythmic patterns that repeated the same pitch rather than rapid alternations of one pitch with another. In the first movement of Train Heading West, which carries the title Prairie Ritual, I tried to simulate some of the sound of tom-toms. Now, there are many rituals that take place on the great open spaces of the American Midwest and farther west. But tom-toms seem to imply the rituals of certain Native American practices. And so the tom-tom rhythm, the use of 8/8 notes in succession like this, is really the key to this piece. On top of it, I placed a melody in much longer tones. There was no intention here to quote or deliberately duplicate any existing Native American music. It was more a matter of sort of recollecting the kinds of American Indian sounds that I probably encountered when I was the age of my beginning band players. Together, the melody with the tom-tom rhythm comes out like this. You may be wondering what kind of instrument is making these sounds. I'm sitting at my harpsichord in my music studio. I am a harpsichordist and an organist and a clavichordist, as well as a pianist, and also I'm a recorder player. And those instruments inform my music very, very much. I thought I would take the suggestion of Bob Margolis, the distinguished proprietor of Manhattan Beach Music, who said, "Why don't you sit at one of your early keyboard instruments when you do your talk about the piece." So, therefore, I'm at the harpsichord. I have two harpsichords. This one has a single keyboard and two sets of strings. Now, in the second movement of Train Heading West, I wanted to use an ostinato that would be ongoing. Now, but that means a repeated pattern that would be over and over and over. Since the second movement is called Rain on the Mountains, I was thinking of raindrops. And here is the ostinato or raindrop pattern. I gave that to the flute and to the second clarinets and asked that they play it separated, but not too separated. almost the plink, plink of raindrops falling. Just as in the first movement, the Prairie Ritual, a melody is superimposed on the tom-tom rhythm, in Rain on the Mountains, a melody which is essentially a succession of chords is superimposed on the raindrop rhythm. Notice that the chord melody is a succession of seventh chords, parallel seventh chords. This is a sound that I've always liked from my childhood, so when writing a piece for a beginning ensemble, the use of the parallel seventh chords naturally came to mind. Parallel seventh chords merely mean that you start building up triads, the third, the fifth, the seventh. And then you move up and down, all the tones moving in the same direction. You can separate them across octaves. You can invert them. Change registers and octaves. Always a sound that I like. I think people who know a fair selection of my music will recognize that sound. For people performing both the Prairie Ritual and Rain on the Mountains, it's important that the tempos not be too fast. Those raindrops have to sound like they're falling slowly and gently. And that carries through the entire movement. Now the third movement, Train Heading West, is also based on an ostinato rhythm. That's the structural process that really ties this whole work together. And here it is a depiction in sound of a large locomotive starting from a standing position and gradually accelerating until it's going full speed. Now, this piece uses a simple syncopated rhythm. To get the piece going. And a pair of brushes used on the snare drum playing eighth notes, similar to the tom-tom rhythm of the Prairie Ritual, approximates the train noise as it gets going. Now, I can't really do a train sound on the harpsichord, but I can play the eighth notes on the side of the case. Now, I think a successful performance of this movement is dependent on starting very, very slowly, almost no motion at all. That's the first four measures at a very, very slow speed. Now, there's a different approach to this piece, which some friends of mine who have conducted have taken. They take each four-measure block as a fixed tempo, each block of four measures in succession getting faster and faster. So when they reach measure five, a new tempo starts. Tempo at measure nine. a new tempo at measure 13. Rather than a continuous, gradual accelerando, this block approach, where each four bars is essentially a new, faster tempo, does work quite well. So I don't rule that out. The only thing that I think is important is that at measure 17, the train should really be underway. At least that fast. And if it's a high-speed, super powerful train, of course, it can go very fast. At measure 29, I often encounter many questions. I've had people email me and write me about what to do about the two bars that say hold back. I always conceived that this was a sudden, much, much slower tempo for those two bars. No preparation, no slowing down, no break, but just suddenly you go real slow. So at measure 29, you'd be going. I don't think there should be any break in the movement of the line, just the sudden tempo changes. Now that's a very, very graphic depiction, or it's supposed to be, at any rate, of a locomotive. And so this piece certainly can be qualified as program music. Program music is a term we use to mean music that's about something, that it's trying to depict something in nature or something about human conduct, or in other words, painting something more than just abstract musical events. I don't normally write program music because I really consider myself an abstract composer, but this work, because it was written for very young players, less experienced, I thought would allow them to enter a little more deeply into the texture and the processes of the music. So for those bands who program this piece, I think it's fair to emphasize that these are not just pieces that deal with different moods. They really do deal with concrete, almost dramatic settings. One can therefore picture a group of individuals out on the plains, perhaps around a fire, perhaps circling in some type of Native American dance while the tom-toms pound. In the second movement, one can picture the raindrops slowly falling on the mountains, with the lush seventh chords representing perhaps the grandeur and also the isolation of the mountain setting. The train in the third movement, I think, doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. Needless to say, the use of a train whistle is essential, and I hope that people who play the work will make every effort to get a good-sounding train whistle. I like a train whistle blown by one of the percussionists rather than any kind of electronic sound effect. The published score of the piece has additional information about some of the materials and some additional information, and also something I'm rather pleased with, and that's a good list of other pieces that I think make worthwhile listening, particularly some wonderful works by Aaron Copland that I particularly would like to call everybody's attention to, the piece John Henry, which is also some music that imitates the sound of trains. It's one of Copland's less well-known pieces, but it's a very, very good one. And in terms of using repeated or ostinato-type rhythms, I think that John Adams' piece, Shaker Loops, is one of the greatest. I think it's one of his very best pieces. And I think a real towering masterpiece, which is built on the notion of trains, is Steve Reich's Different Trains. And in terms of depicting the outside, the great open spaces of America, and the different landscapes of America. Certainly, Aaron Copland did that as well as anyone, and his great ballet score, Billy the Kid, is certainly an inspiration to me, and I think gives you an example of a real masterpiece that deals with some of the things that this little piece deals with. I hope that this gives you a little more background into the piece and into my work on it, and I thank you very much for being interested in my music.